Previously on X-Men.
Welcome back to the world's most mutated podcast. That's right. It's Uncanny Trex covers the X-Men. I know you loved our Fall of X coverage. It definitely wasn't our second worst episode of all time. So you're back here for us previewing the From the Ashes X-Men books. So everyone should probably know the X-Men comics. They're coming to a climax. They're coming to an end. There's big things happening this summer as the Fall of X imprint comes to a close. Then we're having a relaunch because it's X-Men, it's superhero comic books, it's Big Two comic books. You always need a relaunch. The relaunch right now is entitled From the Ashes. We know for sure what three books and three creative teams are. We know beyond that, I think maybe what four, five, six titles are. And then we have some probably pretty reliable leaks for a couple more. So we'll talk through all of that. I am Bob in Cascadia. That is Matt in the Southland. Matt, how are you doing this evening?
Doing well, Bob. It always just amazes me how you can go through a full X-Men run and then it's almost the responsibility of the writer to reset it back to the status quo so that the next person has something to work with. It's just amazing how that works out.
As a meme I saw put it, it was a guy throwing a TV into a dumpster, and it was 5 years of world building was the label of the TV, and Marvel was the label of the guy. And yeah, man, we had five incredible years on Krakoa. Not always great, but incredible. And now we're just going to go back to some X-Men stuff, I guess.
Yeah, whatever comes next.
Yeah, I will say, Matt, so initially this came out... in the form of a leak, and the leak, and we'll compare what the leak said to what was actually announced. The leak was mostly right. It wasn't entirely right, but it was mostly right. And when the leak came out, my reaction was very negative. I was on the phone to you. I was on the phone to a couple of my other friends. I was, this is terrible. This is my worst fear. These are my worst fears. And then when they actually did the announcement, I do have to say, My fears are they're totally forgetting Krakoa. They're totally winding back all the science fiction stuff. They're just going to the most conventional X-Men crap possible, and that it's really focused on solo characters and big names. That would be my critique of the leak. When they actually did the announcement of the three main titles, that blunted my critique a little, but I still think my critique is broadly right. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I mean, you feel a little, you don't feel better, but you feel there's just a slight bit of relief for some parts, but not everything.
Yeah, and I do think most of the people they're talking about being on these comics are good writers and artists, and I'm not really here to disrespect them. Most of them have done good work. I'm sure most of them will do good work on the X-Men, but it's more just the editorial direction. I blame Tom Brevoort, who's taken over as the X-Men editor. I blame him for just winding up Krakoa and forcing this out in the most just boring way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Bob is going to suffer from Krakoa withdrawals, and that is the
issue. I am. Yeah, I'm very bitter. One other broad observation, Matt, before we get going. I think we're really looking at nostalgia for three different eras of X-Men if we examine this launch. One is that we're looking at nostalgia for X-Men in the late 80s. So in the late 80s, the X-Men were splintered into four different teams. You had the Outback X-Men, the New Mutants, X-Factor, and Excalibur. And all four of the teams didn't really know what the other team was up to. And everybody thought the X-Men was dead. Nobody was initially sure who X-Factor was. Nobody was answering the phone at the mansion, so nobody knew what the deal with New Mutants and Excalibur was. And I'm getting real vibes of that splintered X-Men universe in the wake of Krakoa from this. Does that make sense?
Why do you think they wanted to go in that direction?
I mean, one answer would just be it's an obvious thing to do after Krakoa, right? To cast the, and they already did this in Fall of X, right? To cast the X-Men to the winds, right?
Right, to split everybody up, yeah.
Yeah. So that's one explanation.
You think it's easier to contain a story when you just have fewer characters to deal with, and that's just why they want to establish these teams that...
I think so. Another explanation is just, I think we're in the time for late 80s and 90s nostalgia, right?
Oh, yeah. Just in general, yeah.
Yeah. And then another explanation might be, I think, and this is, maybe this is giving the fans more credit than we deserve, but I think the idea of the X-Men just going back to the mansion, people are so hostile to it. Not every, some people welcome it, but for a lot of us, especially those of us who really like Krakoa stuff, we're just really hostile to the idea. And I think that maybe is why they're not doing that immediately. They're doing this before taking them back to the mansion. Does that make sense?
I think they're doing it, Bob, too, because the MCU is about to have its own X-Men, and they've got to get, they're probably going to be in the mansion. So they have to move and shift in that direction. So that people cannot not be confused and might purchase the comics.
That's probably true. And then there's also...
Let me add one more thing, Bob. I can't imagine right now, let's just say that X-Men became a big MCU property today. I can't imagine going and picking up anything from Jonathan Hickman and being, oh, I understand what's going on. There's just no way. Whatever Disney comes up with is not going to be anywhere near as comparable to this world Hickman has created.
My answer remains, though, who cares? Nobody watches
the House of Mouse cares, Bob, because House of Mouse has to wipe with our money.
Yeah, but Matt, we've run this experiment for 20 years. We have run this experiment for 20 years, and having movies and cartoons of famous comic characters does not translate into increased sales for the comics. It just doesn't.
They want it to, Bob, run it so 20, bad. They want it
but
to
it's not going to. I'm not saying that, yes, I'm arguing for how I would prefer superhero comics to be, but 20 years, Matt, it doesn't matter. It's not going to matter. It's not going to start. Why? Why? Why don't they give, why do they give up this dream? The point should be that the comics can explore new stuff that the movies might one day do. That ought to be the goal. It ought to be an experimentation zone.
I know. I agree with that, Bob, to some degree, because I feel, man, if they had made, if X-Men 97... would have been a Krakoa series, or they had jumped to Krakoa, that would have been incredible. But that, we know that's not happening. They're just going right back to some of the same stuff we saw in the original animated series, which, I mean, it's not bad. It's just different. Well, actually, it's not different. I'm sorry, I take that back. It's not different. It's more of the same, which is not a bad thing, because I want to watch X-Men animated series. So...
I don't know. It's just, I just get really bitter about, oh, the comics have to be like the movies. No, they don't. It doesn't matter. Comics are still dying.
They want want to have something that aligns to some degree, because you can, there's no way, Bob, you can, when a New 52 dropped, the minute they dropped, they started the Snyderverse.
Yeah. I know it's a little bit of a different comparison, but when the latest Hellboy comic came out, they didn't all of a sudden be, oh no, Hellboy can't be, we can't be issuing Hellboy in hell anymore. We've got to reset Hellboy back to what he was in 1993. That's insane. And then I actually would disagree with you. From what I've read in oral histories about the New 52, the New 52 was not at all a well-planned out thing, and it was not at all some sort of DC Warner Brothers top down to DC. It was literally Dan DiDio was, I've run out of ideas. I don't know what to do. Let's reset the universe. And literally it was decided maybe 5 months, 3 months before they did it.
I see what you're saying. There's a reason though, Bob. They want to make sure that comics are somewhat accessible when the new stuff starts to hit.
I agree that comics should be accessible.
And they want it to be more familiar.
I don't agree that they should be familiar or nostalgic, though, in the ways that we're seeing. And I also, again, even setting aside my aesthetic preference, it doesn't matter. If movies drove people to comics, there would be a lot more comics readers. But we've had 20 years of this, and that's never happened.
Yeah. Well, Bob, let's talk about these three titles that are dropping. That we do know a little bit about.
Two other quick points. So I said one of the main periods of nostalgia is the late 80s.
Yes, the late 80s.
One of the other periods of nostalgia is the 90s, which you can just definitely see in the font for the books. If you look at the logos, if you look at the fonts of the titles, it's very, very 90s. And then weirdly, The other period is the early 2000s, and I'll talk about that a little more specifically, the late Morrison and early post-Morrison era of X-Men.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that specifically with a couple of books when we get to them. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, Bob.
And then the one or two other general points. Do you remember the teaser that said, "Who are the new X-Men?" And the new X-Men was in Age of Apocalypse font?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, so what did that have to do with anything is a big question, right? Was that a plan that they then abandoned?
Nostalgia.
Or is this going... Yeah, I mean, was it a plan they abandoned? Was it just, oh, we're just going to use this font? Or are we still going to build to something more like that? Because many people have noted that this feels very transitional, right? These books all feel they're only going to be around for 6 months to a year,
right?
And then there's going to be another relaunch.
And right, probably so, around the time the X-Men movies start dropping.
Well, X-Men movies aren't going to drop for years, Matt.
No, Bob. Okay, Wolverine's going to be in the Deadpool movie this year.
And then
that's going to open up a whole new alley for them to start dropping mutants and stuff.
If they keep the schedule at all like it is currently, there's not going to be X-Men movies for years, except for that Deadpool Wolverine movie.
Yeah, but you're still going to see mutants, Bob, all over the place. Trust me, X-Men's about to hit it big, Bob. I see it coming.
No.
X-Men and Crypto are the future, Bob.
No, well, yeah. See, you just refuted yourself.
I know.
Yeah. No, man. We know. Look, this could change, especially with them firing Jonathan Majors, but we know what the movies are through 2027 at this point, right?
But yeah, basically, unless they drop some special movies, Bob, that we don't know about, some surprise films.
I don't think they're going to do that. Have they ever done that? I don't think they're capable of doing that.
Oh, it's possible, Bob. You never know. They can drop a surprise movie in there. Guess what? Wolverine 2025, starring Hugh Jackman.
We've got one
Dazzler 2027 starring Taylor Swift.
No, we've got one movie in 2024.
Yeah.
And then we've got four movies on the books for 2025.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those they're not going to add a fifth movie. That's already too much, especially when they're really hitting superhero fatigue recently.
Yeah, but
they're not adding more.
But like you said, this is a transition to get them back in the mansion. So by the time they're back in the mansion, the movies will be dropped.
Definitely the absolute soonest we're gonna see an X-Men movie is 2026. The absolute
yeah, and that's
soonest.
Perfect enough.
And I don't believe that. I don't think that's gonna happen.
That's enough time for them to be settled in the mansion doing their regular X-Men.
That's enough time for them to go through three more status quo changes.
It is X-Men. Yes, you're right.
Well, because they could cancel the Avengers movies, right? But I think they're still gonna try to do Avengers 5, 2026, Avengers 6, 2027. I think they're the Avengers 3 and 4. I think they want those movies to be a little bit more on their own so they get a little more hype.
Bob, I saw how well that Batman versus Superman did. So they're going to do Avengers v. X-Men in 2026.
I don't think that's where they're going.
It could happen. You never know, Bob. I wouldn't pay to see that, though. I don't think that would be that great.
I don't know. Obviously, they're going to keep doing crappy little mutants and crappy little references in the MCU. They've done in Ms. Marvel. They've done in Doctor Strange, too. But I have to push back on, no, we're years away from an X-Men film.
All right, Bob. I'm telling you, we're going to be in 2026 podcasting about the X-Men movie.
Oh, no, we're not going to be. You'll be podcasting about it. I'm not
going to. You're not going to watch it? You're going to watch it. You're gonna watch live action X-Men.
Like, I don't care. I'm not gonna watch any of this crap. I'm not gonna watch Deadpool 3. I'm not gonna watch Captain America 4. The Thunderbolts? No, I'm not gonna watch the Thunderbolts. Blade? Where's Wesley Snipes, Matt?
That is a good point. They surely should bring Wesley Snipes back.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing against Marshall Ali. I like him. He's a great actor, but he's not Wesley Snipes. No, I'm not watching any of this crap. I'm done. Man, I suffered through Ant-Man 3. Black Panther 2 and the Eternals. Nah,
I can't believe
I'm
you watched
dog.
The Eternals. You're one of three people to watch the Eternals.
I forced my friends to watch the Eternals.
Man.
I don't have friends anymore, but hell, I've seen the Eternals.
I saw the trailer for it. I didn't even see the trailer for it. I just saw it was on. No, not happening. I'm not going to watch the Eternals. We're digging too deep now.
But the point is, though, we had that new X-Men trailer or new X-Men teaser nothing came of it. Maybe something is still going to come of it. And people have observed this all feels very transitional, right? This feels in 6 months or a year, we're going to be announcing a new status quo for the X-Men.
Krakoa is a sequel.
Yeah, probably not that. Probably not that. All right. So Matt was saying, and then I shunted him aside. He was saying we need three titles and three creative teams for certain. So the first one is Uncanny X-Men by Gail Simone and David Marquez. It seems that's probably going to be the main book. It seems Gail Simone's probably going to be the main writer of this era, at least for now. Originally, this was leaked as Adjectiveless X-Men, but now the leak was wrong. It's Uncanny X-Men. Matt, who's our lineup for Uncanny X-Men?
So in Uncanny X-Men, Bob, we're going to have Rogue leading in New Orleans with Gambit, Nightcrawler, Jubilee, and Wolverine.
I don't actually know if Rogue is going to be the leader, but I assume she will be. That seems most likely to me.
Okay. Why are they in New Orleans?
Gambit's hometown.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
The promo art features Jubilee pretty heavily, and then you're going to notice a theme about locations as we keep going, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, Matt, have you read any of Gail Simone's stuff?
I have. I've read some of her Birds of Prey stuff. I did read some of her Batgirl. That's mainly what I know her for, just those two titles. I don't know her for anything else.
Yeah, I love her stuff on Birds of Prey. I hate her stuff on New 52 Batgirl, but in fairness, I think it was one of those, as I understand it, Simone didn't want to make Oracle Batgirl again, but they were going to do it. And I think her attitude was, well, I guess I should do it if anybody's going to do it.
Yeah, I remember when that was going down.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, I will say though, even though I respect Simone, I like her stuff on Birds of Prey, her New 52 Batgirl is terrible. And it's terrible not just because they went from Oracle to Batgirl. It's just not a good comic in other ways.
Yeah.
The thing people mostly love from her is Secret Six, which was a comic she did for DC, which I know you read the first miniseries of called Villains United.
But yeah, I did. I read that part, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People love that book. I don't, but it's very popular. And then she has written X-Men books before. She wrote a Deadpool run way back in the day. I think it was called Agent X. Does that ring any bells?
No, I haven't read that. I've heard of it, but I haven't read it.
Yeah, me neither. And then more recently, she did three trades worth of a Domino run that I actually did think was pretty fun. That was around 2017, 2018. It was good stuff. It was good stuff. And then, let's see, David Marquez is the artist. He's, for X-Men stuff, he did some of the Time Displaced Original Five X-Men with Brian Bendis back around 2014, 2015. Stuart Immonen was the main artist on that, but David Marquez did some of it. But he's most famous for working together with Bendis on Miles Morales.
Okay.
So our next book is Adjectiveless X-Men. So Matt, what's the premise for Adjectiveless X-Men?
So I'm assuming it's Cyclops. It's a Cyclops book where he's leading a team in Alaska. It includes Beast, Magneto, Psylocke, Kid Omega, Oya, Magic, and Juggernaut.
Yeah, and in the leaks, they got the creative team right for this, but they described it as a solo Cyclops book.
Oh.
And then we find out it's actually Adjectiveless X-Men. And so Rogue and Gambit going back to the South, Cyclops is going back to his home state in Alaska, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They're all going back to their roots.
And this does have a little bit the feel of the early 2010s. Where you had the X-Men split into two teams because of the Wolverine-Cyclops Civil War. And a lot of the same characters have lined up with them. In that early 2010s, when Cyclops was still running off Utopia, the island off San Francisco, he had Magneto and Magic and Colossus as the Juggernaut on his team.
Yeah, well, it's also replacing it. Wasn't Juggernaut supposed to be on the team before before it was massacred? That was a big deal.
At the last Hellfire Gala, they announced a new team that was a very cool looking team. It had Sync, it had older Laura Kinney, it had Jubilee, it had Juggernaut. Maybe it was Prodigy. I forget who else.
I think so, yeah.
Maybe Dazzler. But it was a cool-looking team. But then they immediately get stomped by Nimrod. And so I think, yeah, having Juggernaut on the team is a little bit of
they're making up for the loss there. Is
it? Yeah. Although sadly, we're not seeing Sync or older Lara anywhere. So I'm a little annoyed at that. So Matt, do you remember who Oya is?
I don't know.
Okay. She's a Nigerian mutant, and she was a big part of Matt Fraction, Kieran Gillen, and Jason Aaron's runs in the early and mid-2010s. Lately, she's been in the Sabretooth comics, which I have read, but I do not remember them at all. So I could not tell you what she's up to in the Tooth comics. Many people love them. Old Bob did not love them.
Is this a Sabretooth war?
Maybe her here will be fallout from Sabretooth War. Although the Sabretooth comics had a lot of supporting characters in them that I don't think made the jump to the Sabretooth War in Wolverine. So I don't know how connected that actually is. To say a little bit about the creative team, Jed Mackey's the writer of Adjectiveless X-Men. He's done some really good work recently. I really like most of his Black Cat and Moon Knight runs. They're very fun. And then I haven't read his Doctor Strange run, but I've heard very good things about it.
Well, Bob, there's one more title, right?
Well, no. Yeah. Then the artist is Ryan Stegman. He did some work with Donnie Cates on Venom a few years back.
Okay. Well, Bob, there's one more title we know for sure about, right?
Yeah. That's Exceptional X-Men. It was leaked as Young X, which was wrong.
Young X.
It actually, spiritually, it seems to be about right. And they didn't know the artist, but they were right that Eve Ewing was writing it. I will say it's always nice to get a new adjective, astonishing, uncanny, immortal. It's always nice to have a new adjective, but exceptional, not my favorite.
Will it be spelled with an X, though, Bob? You spelled it in the notes with an E, but I'm assuming it's going to be a big X.
Not in the text I saw, no.
Okay.
It was spelled with an E.
Well, if they spelled it with an X, it's a lot cooler looking.
Yeah. And then, so what's the pitch for this comic, Matt?
So Emma Frost and Kitty Pryde are mentoring three new young mutants in Chicago.
Yeah, which this to me has big vibes of the Chris Claremont Mechanics series in the early 2000s, where Kitty Pryde goes back to college. And so Kitty Pryde is from Chicago. So yeah, I don't know. This doesn't sound great to me. I want Emma Frost doing something more interesting, but whatever, I'll read it.
Well, it's an interesting combination too with Emma Frost and Kitty Pryde, because remember in Astonishing X-Men, Kitty Pryde was brought into the school to counterbalance Emma. Emma was a villain, had always been a villain. Kitty was this almost normal person, fresh face, still young at that point. So it'd be interesting. Yeah. And it's always a good dynamic. Of course, now you've got Kitty Pryde as a ninja. So
yeah, maybe. Well, and that's interesting, because on the one hand, this does actually seem to, along with Juggernaut being on the X-Men, this does seem to be one of the few carryovers from Krakoa, because the book Marauders and then later the Jerry Duggan's X-Men book have done a lot with Shadowcat and Emma Frost's relationship,
yeah,
right?
It's come a long way, yeah.
Yeah. So that they're at least covering that. But on the other hand, it does seem they're just going to be totally abandoning, because we had Kitty go full Shadowcat, go full ninja in the latest issues of Jerry Duggan's X-Men. And I would guess by the premise of this that they're just totally abandoning that, which seems a shame, right? We've never seen full ninja Shadowcat before. Let's roll with that for a couple more years before we do something else.
Yeah, I would like to see that. I'm hoping we don't go back. We're going to have two characters with two different ways of wanting to teach these new young mutants, and they're just going to be in conflict all the time. I don't know if that's what I want to read.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the New Mutants characters will be great. I'm not super enthused about it. That's
small
two
team.
Teachers for three students. Yeah. Man, this really doesn't reflect an actual teacher-student balance, does it? Yeah. I will say the writer is Eve Ewing. She wrote the Miss Marvel team-up series, which I did like. I thought it was a good series. Then I think you've read a little of this too. Our guy John Ridley was doing Black Panther.
Yeah.
And then he left the book on a cliffhanger. She took over. I read the first issue, and it just seemed there was going to be a lot of Deathlok, and I'm not a Deathlok guy, so I didn't read past the first issue. Did you read any further?
I read the first three issues, and yes, Bob, you were correct. There was a lot of Deathlok.
Did you enjoy it despite the presence of Deathlok?
No, it was not as good as what we had previously read, so I just gave up on it.
Okay. But yeah, Ms. Marvel Team Up is a good book. So hopefully Eve Ewing will have success on this. The artist is Carmine Carnero. She's a Spanish artist. She's done work that I've seen as fill-ins on the Supergirl show tie-in comic and on Hellions, which was one of my favorite Krakoa X-Men comics. Lately, she's been doing a lot of work on Captain America and Spider-Man. So maybe she's been on that Zeb Wells Spider-Man you've been reading.
Yeah, I think so. All right, Bob. All right. So I know there's more than just these three titles. These are the ones that have been leaked, right, or released.
Well, those are the three that were announced in Austin, so and we know the creative teams. Yeah.
So those are solidified. Then, those are happening.
Yeah, those are happening. And then the next six we're going to talk about, we know are happening. They were also announced in Austin, but we don't know the creative teams or the premises at all.
Okay.
So we know there's going to be an X-Factor and an X-Force book, and both have very 90s logos I mentioned before. We don't know anything more than that. Given the 90s logos, you wonder if they're just going to try and go straight nostalgia of government X-Factor team, mercenary X-Force team. I don't know. We'll see.
We're going to see young Cable leading an X-Force team.
Well, young Cable's not young Cable anymore. He's old Cable again.
Well, never mind. Old Cable leading X-Force again.
Yeah,
they'll throw Deadpool in there somewhere too.
Which is a shame. Kid Cable was one of the best parts of the pre-Krakoa and early Krakoa X-Men era. I actually really liked Kid Cable.
So who do you think is going to be on X-Factor, Bob?
I don't know, man. I'm bad at guessing like rosters. Based on the logo, I would assume they're going to do a pretty traditional government team, which would probably be people like Havoc, Polaris, Strong Guy, and Multiple Man. But I really don't know.
So they're really going 90s nostalgia if they go that direction.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. And then with the X-Force, likewise, maybe pretty traditional team, like Old Cable, Warpath, Sunspot, Boom Boom, Cannonball, people like that.
Richter,
yeah. Shatterstar. Yeah, so we'll see. I will say I was glad these were announced because in the initial leaks, these were not included, and I was just really, they just had an X-Force book go 50 issues and they're not going to do another X-Force book. Not that I even necessarily want to read an X-Force book. I was just surprised. So the solo comics they've announced, Matt, do you want to read those four down right quick?
So we got a Phoenix book, a Storm book, a Wolverine book, and an NYX book.
And I guess with NYX, I'm not sure if we should say it's a solo book or not. We do you remember NYX at all, Matt?
Not really, no. What is NYX?
So NYX was one of these early aughts books that was launched, I think, at about the end of Morrison or right after Morrison. And now in Morrison, you have District X in New York City.
Yeah.
NYX was just about new Teen Mutants in District X. And it was only a miniseries or two. It wasn't an ongoing. And it's most historically notable for being the first comics appearance of X-23 Laura Kinney.
Oh, I was going to say, what is the deal with this? It's only seven issues. But now, yeah. That's why. Okay.
Yeah. So would it could be a Laura Kinney book. It could be a team book. It could be some other character solo book. It really no way to know. And there is a tradition of sometimes they reuse X-Men titles and they have nothing to do with the prior iteration, right? In Krakoa, they had a Hellions book, yeah, and that had nothing to do with Emma Frost's Hellions. They had a Fallen Angels book. That was an 80s spinoff of New Mutants, and the new Fallen Angels book had nothing to do with the old Fallen Angels book. So the NYX could literally be a revival of the early aughts miniseries, or it could be something totally, totally different. We don't
right.
know. I will say another thing I was a little vindicated about when the leak happened, I was very surprised that there was no Storm and no Iceman book, and especially after our conversation about the Iceman miniseries in our
Fallen Angels episode. Oh, yeah, that was surprising because it seemed to do really well.
Yeah. But we do have a Storm book in the official announcement here. And we should also say, I should have said this earlier, they are going to announce other books, right? So this is just the first wave. It's not everything.
Okay. I'll say I'm used to having way more titles. So that's the one thing about X-Men. There's at least something you can read every week.
Yeah. Sometimes two or three things. Yeah. So the other solo book is Phoenix. That was, unlike the Storm and the NYX were not in the leak, but the Phoenix book was in the leak. It's according to the leak, it's going to be by Stephanie Phillips, who just finished a really good Rogue and Gambit miniseries. We're not totally sure if she's going to do it, but that's what the leak said. And the leak has been pretty right about writers and artists. We don't know the artist. I was thinking that it would be really, really funny if this was not a book about Jean Grey, if it was a book about Rachel Summers or Quentin Quire or Echo.
It's totally going to be about Jean Grey, though, Bob,
yeah,
after
it's going to be about Jean, yeah. Especially with X-Men 97 and all this. And especially with her notable absence from the three X-Men books, right? It's going to be about Jean Grey.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Then the Wolverine book, according to the leak, yeah, a Wolverine book is happening. According to the leak, it's going to be by Saladin Ahmed, who wrote a great Black Bolt comic and a pretty good Miss Marvel comic, and Greg Capullo, who, Matt, you know Greg Capullo, right?
Yeah, he actually did the Dark Knight's Metal and Dark Knight's Death Metal stuff.
Oh, God. He did Spawn and he did Scott Snyder Batman. Why you got to poison it by talking about metal and death metal? Because
I want to make you feel bad.
You succeeded, sir.
Yeah,
you
no, succeeded. He did do Spawn. Yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah. So this is, again, we know there's going to be a Wolverine book. We don't know for sure that Ahmed and Capullo are the creative team, but the leaks were pretty good about creators, right? So I think we can probably assume that this is happening. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, yeah. That'll be a pretty good book, I think.
I'm not super stoked for more solo Wolverine, but I mean, it can't be worse than the Tooth War, so yeah. Bring it on. No more multiversal Sabretooth. As long as it doesn't have multiversal Sabretooth, I'm there. All right. So we had some other stuff that was leaked, Matt. What was the first thing that was leaked that we have not had confirmed yet?
So there's a book that's going to come out about the Sentinels. It's going to be written by Alex Pacnadel.
And drawn by we don't know who, at least according to the leak. Pacnadel is the only one of these creators I didn't know. Apparently he's a British dude, and he's written some Carnage and some Red Goblin comics.
Well, that's okay. Now he's going to write about Sentinels. He's going to just continue to just write villains. About the B-level villains and random villains.
I mean, I think that's a little... I don't think Carnage and Sentinels are B-level villains.
B-level books about a villain.
It's a B-level book. I agree.
Yeah.
It's a B-level book.
Well, who'd you... I wrote about the Red Goblin. I mean, come on. Nobody.
Yeah. So I have no idea what this book will be. I saw some speculation online that it was going to be a teen book led by Shadowcat. But then obviously that's Exceptional X-Men. I don't know what this could be. I could see it being a teen book just with the name Sentinels. Or I could see it being a comic about Sentinels. If it is a comic about Sentinels, it's really weird that we're coming out of one of the darkest, most powerful eras for Sentinels, and then we're having a Sentinel book. That does seem weird, doesn't it?
It really does. What if the Sentinels gain sentience, and there's a couple of Sentinels that have adventures, and it's a Sentinel team?
Well, you absolutely nailed it. I didn't think about it at all, but this comic is definitely going to be some sort of commentary on AI. You nailed it. You saw what they were doing. Yeah, that's why they're doing it now.
Yeah.
I will say, do you remember the solo comic Sentinel from the early 2000s? I never actually read it.
No, I don't remember that.
It was basically about a dude, as I understood it, who found and refurbished a Sentinel. And basically it was an Iron Giant knockoff, but with a Sentinel.
Oh, that guy, he's in Morrison's run.
Oh, part of it.
His name is Tyler.
Okay,
or,
sure.
Or Taylor or something. He's in the future. That Sentinel actually makes an appearance there. And I only know that because I just recently read
I didn't remember that, and I'm sure you're right. I just don't remember it. I've never read the Sentinel comic.
Legit a second comic where someone does that, which is
no. I'm sure you're talking about the right guy. It's that Morrison era. So this could maybe have some connection to that, but we've said with X-Men comics, sometimes when they reuse titles, they're revivals, and sometimes they have nothing to do with the original premise, and they're just trying to maintain the trademark.
Yeah. Bob, what about this Mystique leak?
Yeah. This would be the first Mystique comic since the early, solo comic since the early 2000s, which that wasn't a very good comic, so this could easily be better. If we're to believe the leak, it would be probably written and drawn by Declan Shavley, who's a Irish artist and sometimes writer. He did the art. You read Moon Knight by Warren Ellis, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, I read that. That
was really good. He's the artist on that. Okay. And he's done some really good crime stuff, too. Like he did a crime graphic novel called Savage Town that's set in Ireland that I really liked. So not what I would prefer to see from him. I mean, I like Mystique, but I just prefer him doing crime stuff. But I'm happy if he's writing and drawing this, I'm happy to support that. And yeah, surely it'll be better than the Brian Vaughn Mystique series from the early 21st century. That wouldn't be hard.
Yeah, all I can remember from Brian K. Vaughan is that I read all the Last Man on Earth.
Yeah, that was a good series.
For its time.
Are you one of the people who thinks it's dated now?
If I went back and reread it, I probably would notice some things that I wouldn't be as okay with now as an adult reading it.
Man, yeah, a lot of people have to turn on that comic. I haven't read it since about when.
Well, that's one of the reasons I haven't gone back to reread it, because I have fond memories, but I remember enjoying it. But then when the actual television series released and they started opening up more things about it, maybe I don't need to go back and redo it.
People did hate that show. I can never tell, were they negatively responding to the premise or were they just negatively responding to the poor quality of the show?
It's got
to
be the poor quality, because that show went nowhere. I mean, you remember, I collected every single volume of that thing, but I still had absolutely zero interest in watching the show.
Well, that's a common thing for me, right? I liked Garth Ennis's The Boys series pretty well, but I still just have no interest in seeing a TV show of it.
And to me too, I'm good with a season of a show like that, but then when they go on and make three or four seasons, it's like, I don't really want to, because usually the first season is almost a direct recreation of the first volume of whatever it is. Usually they just take most of the pieces from the first volume of something and put it in their own spin on it. But then they go into second and third seasons and they just start doing their own thing that had nothing to do with anything. And then some of it's horribly written.
So you can't really adapt to a 60-issue series very well to TV, right? Yeah, yeah. So you have to go in other directions, but those other directions tend to be less interesting. Yeah, yeah. It's a dilemma. It's a dilemma. All right, so we've got Uncanny X-Men, Adjectiveless X-Men, and Exceptional X-Men for sure. We've got X-Factor, X-Force for sure. We've got Phoenix, Storm, NYX, and Wolverine for sure. Then we've got maybe Sentinels, maybe Mystique. Any other final thoughts on the From the Ashes X-Men books, Matt?
I mean, I think I'm good with this, but are we... I think this is a good place to put this here. How do you think Krakoa is going to end, Bob? Are we just going to shoot Moira and it be over with?
Oh, man. That certainly seemed where they're going, but because it seemed where they're going, I don't think it's what they're going to do.
Yeah. I keep thinking that's going to be the end of it right there. Just boom, Myra's dead. Then we're going to have a whole new team, new setup, new everything.
I haven't been super, super impressed by the Kieran Gillen, Jerry Duggan miniseries so far. I've been keeping up with them, and I'm not super... I don't think they're bad. I just haven't been super impressed with them. But I can also see that they're comics that would probably read a lot better if you read them all at once, which I will do when they're done, as opposed to week, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if we're going to get a good ending to Krakoa or not. I do have some faith in Kieran Gillen, and I've got some faith in Duggan, although not as much faith in Duggan as I do in Gillen.
All right, Bob.
All right. Well, that's been Uncanny Trex Does From the Ashes, the X-Men relaunch. I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland.
Thank you for listening.